book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and beginning at verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that we have the right and the freedoms to preach it. God, I pray that you'd work in our hearts today. Anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power for the task ahead. We're needy people this morning, Father. We need to hear from heaven. Now, Father, if there's one in this auditorium here that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today they would trust him to save them from the penalty of their sin. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'm going to ask you now to check your electronic devices. Cell phones, beepers, buzzers, pagers, all that good stuff. Make sure that they are off or on vibrate for us. That will help me tremendously. Now, if you're a clock watcher, church is supposed to be over at noon, and it's 5 minutes to 12. So just to let you know, church will not be over at noon, just to let you know. We'll need to abbreviate our service a bit this morning, so just listen very carefully. I'll ask that no one get up and go out of the room. If you have a medical reason, we understand that. Please do. Other than that, just sit and listen very carefully for a few moments. You know, it's funny. We can sit and watch television for hours, and we can't listen to a 25-minute sermon without having to get up and stretch our legs. So let's just sit and listen carefully. This is a very important message today. I'm going to start a little series of messages based on one three-letter word. You look in verse 28 in the text we read this morning. That first word in verse 28 is what, please? What's the first word in verse 29? What's the first word in verse 31? We're going to begin a series of let sermons this morning. And this morning, the sermon is, let it go. Let it go. And if you'll look at verse now, look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 31 very carefully, and I want to read it to you again. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let it go, friend. Look at me this morning. Let the bitterness go this morning. That's what God is saying here. Let it go. Now I want you to notice the wording in the verse. Very important. And you need to keep your Bibles open. Follow very carefully with me. He did not say that you had to put it away from you. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He's simply saying, let it go. Let the bitterness go. You know what bitterness is, don't you? Bitterness is the byproduct of the wrong and the hurt that people have brought into your life. But now I want you to listen to me very carefully. But people cannot make you bitter. We are bitter because we let what they did to us make us bitter. We let it embitter us. You're not bitter because someone made you. See, it's not my fault I'm bitter, Pastor Johnson. Someone did me wrong, and I've been bitter about it ever since in my life. No, someone did you wrong, and how you handled it, and the way you reacted to it, you became bitter because of it. And so what God is saying when he says, let the bitterness go, he is saying, you allowed it to come, you need to let it go. See, look, people, look at me. I cannot do anything about what people have done to hurt me in my life. I cannot do anything about it. I'm sorry for the wrongs that have been done to us in our lives. I'm sorry someone has hurt you. There's nothing light about that. Some of the hurts that are done to people today are incredibly, incredibly wicked. Some of the things that are done to people today, it's just, I cannot imagine how some can do such damage to others with so little thought about what they do and how they do it. But now listen to me. God did not qualify what caused the bitterness. He just simply said, you need to let it go. Someone has once said that bitterness is the only chemical that destroys its own container. Hebrews tells us, the book of Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that the root of bitterness springing up thereby defiles many. Bitterness is like a weed that begins to grow in your life, and if you don't pull it by the roots and get it out, it will spring up, and as weeds spread across your yard, the things, the byproducts of that bitterness will cover your life. Well, look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and all the things that are listed there are byproducts of the bitterness in our lives. We know what anger is. You know what wrath is? It's like anger, but it's anger with no control. It's an anger that's right underneath the surface in our lives that just takes very little of anything to bring it out, and instantly we are angry and people lose control. He says anger, and he says wrath and anger and clamor. That means arguing. Argumentativeness and arguing with people. Can't have a conversation without an argument. You know what that product is? That's a byproduct of the bitterness of our lives. And it says also an evil speaking, vile cursing and vile language that people have. It's embarrassing to go in public places nowadays with people with a serious case of toilet mouth. Have no control and no respect for the way they speak and the way they talk. And the word malice in verse 31 simply means getting even. There are a lot of people in their life, what they're doing is just getting even with everybody. Somebody wronged them, they became bitter because of it, now they're going to get even, and everyone else in their life is going to pay for it. That's why bitterness, we think bitterness is something that's directed at someone because of what they did to us. When the Bible says it springs up and defiles many, a bitter person will begin to defile every relationship in their life. They won't be able to have a decent friendship or relationship of any kind because that bitterness pours over into innocent people, folks that didn't even do anything to us. But one more time, please listen carefully. You see, preacher, that's not fair. They did me wrong and I'm bitter and it's my fault. That's right. But it helps us to understand. See, look, I can't stop the wrong that people have done to me. I cannot prevent those in my life from doing things that are going to break my heart. I can't prevent that because that's a part of life, people. And let me say this too. And if you think about it, you've heard a few along your way and your path in life also. But now listen carefully. But when I become bitter because of what they've done to me, that's my fault, not theirs. See, when they wrong me, that's their fault. When I'm bitter, that's mine. And the reason God lets me know that is because, see, I can't fix their wrong, but I can fix the bitterness. You don't have to live a bitter life. As you know, my testimony, my dad was a Baptist preacher as I am today. One day in the end of a church service, he ran off with one of the women in the church and broke my mother's heart, and she became a drunkard. And I lived in this town and up in Central Valley, now Shasta Lake City. Lived in Central Valley in Project City as a boy there in a drunkard's home with a stepfather, and she remarried. She married a man who was a bartender in this town, and he'd get drunk every night and come home and beat us. And beat my mother, knocked the teeth out of her mouth. As a boy, I'd walk across that old linoleum floor in that house in Central Valley, and I'd step on her teeth with my bare feet. I was a boy. I didn't understand a stepfather that hated us and would come home at night and jerk us up out of bed and slap us around. I didn't understand all that. When I became a teenager, I was mad at the world. Fight at the drop of the hat and drop the hat every chance I got. Spent most of my teenage years mad. I was in malice. I was going to get even with the world and make them pay for the fact that somebody wronged me like that in my life. So I know what bitterness is all about. Well, by the way, it's not like you get victory over bitterness and it never happens to you again. There have been things that have happened to me in 25 years of pastoring and ministry that could have easily embittered me in my life when people did or said things that should not have been said or done to me, and especially to my family. By the way, that's a very, 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 very small percentage of the people I've ministered and pastored in this 25 years. 99.99% of the people have loved this preacher and his family. And I appreciate that very much. But see, after growing up in a home like that where you get beat up, people mess with your people, your family. There's a natural defense mechanism that kicks in. Oh my. We used to live in Cottonwood over here for years and had a little house there by about 1,200 acres of rolling hills. After a few attacks, I remember walking those hills for hours, begging God to not let me become bitter. I did not want to become bitter because of a battle we were going through at the time. But now you listen to me, friend. Listen to me. You got to let it go. You understand? Let all bitterness be put away from you with all malice. Well, that's easier said than done. I mean, that's a nice little remedy, but you don't understand. No, I don't understand. I don't understand your hurt this morning. I don't understand what's been done to you, and I'm sorry for it. If my apologies makes it any easier or better for you, then God bless you this morning. I'm sorry. But the Bible says, let it go. You can either live on it or it will kill you, one or the other. In Acts chapter 8 and verse number 23, the Bible tells us about a man who was named Simon the Sorcerer. He saw the disciples and their preaching and the work of the early church, and he saw the miracles that God was allowing them to do. And he came to them and he says, tell you what, fellas, I'll give you some money. You show me how to do that. Show me how to raise that dead thing and heal them sick people, and I'll give you money if you'll show me how to do it. Apostle Peter turned to Simon and he says, you know what? He goes, you keep your money. And by the way, he says, I've noticed that you are caught in the gall of bitterness. The word gall in the Bible refers to how bitterness is like a poison and a narcotic. There are people who live on their bitterness. It's what got them out of bed this morning. They woke up mad at the world. They have malice. They want to get even. They woke up mad this morning. I mean, they didn't even get out of bed before they're already angry and mad at the world and want to settle in the score. Going to get even with somebody because somebody did something to them years ago in their life. You can try to live on that kind of bitterness, friend, but I guarantee you this, it will destroy you and everything about your life, and it robs you of every bit of joy and happiness that you'll ever know. I settled my thing with the bitterness issue a long time ago, and when things come up that hurt me, I have to decide, am I going to let this embitter me, or am I going to have to work this out with God? See, look again in your Bible in verse number 31. Would you notice the end of the verse? There's a punctuation mark. It's a colon. That's an open punctuation, so the thought of verse 31 goes right to verse 32. And look, the admonition in verse 31 is let it go. The remedy is verse 32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, watch this now, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, if you think it's unfair that your bitterness is your fault, get ready for the remedy. The remedy is forgiveness. And that's the only remedy. I'm sorry. You and I can have personal counseling sessions and you can unload the stuff of your life on me. And when you're done, would you do me a favor? Let me switch sides of the desk with you and let me unload my stuff on you. And we can sit around and make an Oprah session out of it, and I could turn into Dr. Phil. How do I look? I could turn into Dr. Phil and we could sit around and go through the whole thing. Talk about it, talk about it, talk about it. We can go through psychoanalysis, and we can go into the depth. We can go into hypnosis and go into the deep. Go back to your birth experience. Find out what it is in your birth experience that embittered you. You were born naked in front of all those people. Okay, let's talk about it. But do you understand, dear people, do you understand this morning God's solution to let it go is forgiveness? The forgiveness that you need to give is based upon the forgiveness you have received. See what it says? Look at verse 32 again. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now, that's not fair. I'm bitter. It's my fault. They did me wrong. I'm bitter. It's my fault. And now I have to forgive them. That's not right. Okay, so let's see now. Revenge would be better. Getting even with these people, right? That would be better. Let's get even with them. Let's talk about them. Let's trash them. Let's go out. Hey, better than that, let's make the whole world sorry you were born. Let's go get everybody. Now let's just settle this whole thing with everyone. Revenge, that's so sweet. No, it's not sweet. It just feeds the bitterness in your life. Yeah, but forgiveness is an insult. They wronged me. I'm bitter and I have to forgive them. That's not fair. It is fair in this term. Now listen carefully. Because the forgiveness you need to give is the forgiveness you have received. And not from them. From God. See, here's what we think today. I know how I thought about it when I became bitter in my life. I know how people think about it. I deal with 30 years of ministry of working with people. I guarantee you everyone thinks they have a reason for their bitterness and they get an excuse. They get a written excuse. I'm bitter and here's why. Because we think what's been done to us is worse than what we did to God. That's what we think. Because the Bible says you need to forgive like you've been forgiven. And Jesus paid for your salvation, your forgiveness. And God, for the sake of Jesus Christ, not you, for the sake of Jesus Christ, God forgave you for Jesus' sake. That's a tremendous thing. We wronged God. God says, for Jesus' sake, and the payment Jesus made, I will forgive you. And we wronged Him. He forgives us for Jesus' sake. And then we can't forgive someone else because what they did to us is worse than what we did to God. Worse than what we did to Jesus and nailing Him to the cross for our sins. Worse than all of that. See, we really do think God owes us, so we have the right to be bitter. Let it go, friend. Let it go. I remember the day as a 16-year-old boy, I let it go. I remember the day I made a decision. You know, this is foolish. It's like I'm standing in front of the mirror and punching myself in the face to get even with the people who have hurt me. And I thought, how dumb is this? I'm mad at the world. I'm mad at everybody on this planet. I can't get along with anybody. I have trouble with friendships. I'm none of that, but I go to bed and I think about it. And I just go over and over and over again in my mind. I thought, man, this is stupid. And listen to me, friend. I speak to myself, not you, that way. That's just stupid. Because all you're doing is hurting yourself in the process, making the bitterness worse. You're feeding the bitterness in your life by continuing to be bitter. And I decided then, that's it. I'm not going to live like this any longer. Let it go. Let it go. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Let it go. How? Quickly. Number one, you have to be forgiven in order to do that. You cannot give the forgiveness you need to give to be delivered from the bitterness until you receive the forgiveness you need to have in your life. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. See, baptism won't help you to learn how to forgive. Church membership will not help teach you how to forgive. Salvation teaches you how to forgive. Because salvation is trusting that Jesus' death on the cross is your salvation. Nothing else. That He died on the cross to pay for your sins, gave His life, dipped His soul into death, rose again 3 days later. That's the forgiveness of God, what Jesus did for us. And when you put your faith in Christ and trust that payment alone as your salvation, God forgives you for Jesus' sake. You cannot give the forgiveness you need to give until you receive the forgiveness you must have. That's why you hold on to this bitterness thing. For some of you today, it's just that you've never received the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ for salvation. You need to settle that today. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification is a wonderful expression in the Bible. It's a legal term. It means not guilty. We're justified by faith, trusting what Christ did in our place on the cross. When we do that, the Bible says God declares us as not guilty in His sight. That's forgiveness. Covered, gone, removed, no more. Ever you and your sin and God to meet up again. Forgiven, friend. Forgiven. 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 That's why you can't be earning it. You can't be working at it. You can't be working on it. You can't be working toward it. Listen now, you can't be holding out for it either. Well, I'm trying to hold out for forgiveness. I'm hoping I will be forgiven. You must know that you are forgiven. When you trust Christ's payment, my friend, God forgives you for Jesus' sake. Now watch. You let the bitterness go because you received the forgiveness you need. Then, to let the bitterness go, you have to forgive in the same manner in which you were forgiven. Can I ask you a question this morning, you that are saved here today? Can I ask you a question? When God forgave you, did He make you crawl through glass? Did He make you beg for it? Did He make you plead? Did He make you hold out faithful to the end? When you received Christ as your Savior, did you have to work at it really hard? I mean really hard work at that. Was there all kinds of things you had to do? Biblical salvation requires no works of any kind whatsoever. In fact, listen to me. You put works to salvation, God will not save you. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't earn God's forgiveness. God gives it as a gift because of Jesus. So how did you receive the forgiveness of God? Father, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. I trust Christ as my Savior. Jesus, save me, please. You mean just like that? You say a prayer? No. Just like that, you trust Christ. Just like that, in your heart of repentance, you turn to God and trust Jesus alone for your salvation. By a simple matter of faith, then you ask Him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wonderful thing, just as easily as you receive the forgiveness of God. That's just how you need to give it. Just like God forgave you for Jesus' sake, you forgive others for Jesus' sake. As you know, my father lives here in town. He and I do not have a close relationship. That is by his choice. And by the way, I have no problem with my father. And I don't mean to be in any way disrespectful. The Bible says you honor your father and your mother. It doesn't say honor your good father and your good mother. It says honor your father and your mother. And I respect my father and I love him. But he does not desire to have a close relationship with me and my family. It's his choice. So you should try harder. I've tried past and it just doesn't work and you get kicked in the teeth a while. You just sort of step back. Okay, but that's all right. But I don't have a problem with my dad. There isn't any bitterness that's there. See, but Pastor Johnson, I don't understand how that works. It works like this. Whenever something comes up that would embitter me, I think, yeah, but see, I wronged God a lot worse than this. I got saved at 9. You know, you don't really do a whole lot by the age of 9. But I did enough sin to send me to hell by the age of 9. And for a moment of faith in Christ, God wiped the slate clean for me. Look at me. And that's how He forgave me. And that's how I forgive those who did me wrong. And still do. You got to let it go, friend. You understand? You go around the rest of your life with a chip on your shoulder and blame God and everybody on this planet if you want to. Go ahead. Miserable life, isn't it? Huh? Those people who just want to get even with the world, miserable people to live with, aren't they? Miserable way to live. You keep burning up every relationship in life. Nobody trusts you after a while. And frankly, who wants to be around somebody all pinch-faced and mean as stinking sin itself? Why live like that? That's pleasurable. No, I'm free this morning. You know why? Because I decided a long time ago, with the grace of God and by the help of God, I'm going to forgive the way I was forgiven. Just that simply. But it comes up, then what do? I remember that it's forgiven. That's under the blood now. When I talk about this situation with my dad, I only talk about it when I'm preaching. Only. Never any other time. Never. I don't sit around and think about it. Sit out on the porch. Tall glass of cold water. Barbecue and hamburgers. 3/4 of a pound of fresh hamburger meat in each patty. That quarter pounder thing this Mickey Mouse restaurant talks about, that's like the tongue off of one of your shoes. You come to my house sometimes, I'll grill you a burger now. They don't make buns big enough to put that hamburger on. It hangs out the side all the way around. And I'm sitting there grilling those burgers. Salt and pepper lightly on all four sides. And I'm ready. The wife in there making potato salad. Lord, let me keep it in English. Fresh watermelon, red and sweet. Right after that, some homemade peach ice cream. Homemade peach ice cream. Ben and Jerry never touched that stuff. Homemade peach ice cream. Oh, yes. And baked beans with that maple syrupy, smoky flavor in there. And I want to think about my childhood. Are you out of your mind? Oh, this hamburger's terrible because I had a bad childhood. Forget it. I'm not ruining a hamburger over what happened 50 years ago. Are you crazy? Let it go, friend. Let it go. Let it go. Well, I wish somebody would take it away. If you give it up, God will take it away. It will be lost in the forgiveness you have received and you need to give, and you'll let it go. And you'll put away all that wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice and getting even with the world junk in your life. It's gone. Even better news. And the practice you learn in getting rid of that bitterness in your life, you're going to need it a few more times before it's all over. And the grace of God and the work of God and the word of God will be sufficient again. You don't have to live like that. I'm sorry for people, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry for people who live a life consumed with the bitterness of their life. Oh, woe is me. I got no life. My life's no good. Everything's terrible. I'm never going to enjoy life ever again. I'm sorry for that this morning, because God sets us free. Let it go. Would you let it go this morning? Let's stand our feet, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed.